God's Work in the World, 1907. The Lord has a great work to be done in our world, and how shall this work be accomplished? The work of redemption, who can fathom it? Matthew 28, verse 18, 20. The accomplishment of this great work means everything to true believers. The low standard of spirituality the church members allow themselves to be in religious attainments, is dishonoring to the kingdom of God. They show they have a name to live and are dead. This low, feeble standard is a reproach to Christianity, a great dishonor to God, for it is so much less in comparison with the great provision made in behalf of the saving of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. What more could God do? Why is there so little done in comparison with what should be done? Why is not the spiritual and the motive power put in operation, which the gospel brings to bear upon human hearts? The Lord God is all-powerful, and the whole force of the whole power of the incarnation of Christ is a tremendous achievement and is in no way purposed to bring about insignificant results. Man cannot by any human effort thwart the purposes of God. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the heart that shall stand. Proverbs 16, verse 9, 19, 21. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Will we each consider this matter and be wise for ourselves? We receive the grace of God to bestow. Pages 3 to 6 of the manuscript are missing. The church is to become a continuation of the gospel scheme of love to flow forth untrammeled to the world. Its offices are not to be confined to itself, for this would bear the representation of putting the light under a bushel or under a bed. The light is to be put upon a candlestick, to give light to all that are in the house, the world. Its organization was not to be confined to itself, but that all its capabilities, all its powers, were to be exercised in the unselfish work of constructing and facilitating the work of preaching the gospel to all nations. The work of the gospel ministry was to go forth from the churches to all parts of the missionary fields now being worked, and to add new territory, lifting up the standard of truth in every place possible. The Son of God was withdrawn from our world, and the great manifestation of his love was to be seen and exhibited by his church, and made visible and distinctly to represent his great love. He has instituted his church for the communication, as a channel, for the principles of love to flow forth in rich currents to a world lying in wickedness. And if the church had stood in its elevated character, purified from selfishness and worldliness, then she would have been as a city set on a hill, receiving from heaven the power of propagating the great and saving Bible truths to the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest gospel missionary the world ever knew. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted a church so that his followers should implant the heavenly principle of divine love in the hearts, sanctifying all human love, that it should be employed for the express purpose, on no limited scale, for the extension of his kingdom in our world. For there was light to go forth from the church as a lamp that burneth. In the church below there is to be the most perfect unity, and this can only be by all wearing Christ's yoke of restraint and obedience. Learn of me, said the divine teacher, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 29, 30. Our churches are not meeting the standard God would have them to reach. One will help another by their example. Everyone must know God has given to each individual his work to do. Every soul should be in earnest, showing appropriate zeal in accordance with the greatness of truth for this time. As servants of Jesus Christ, all who love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves will feel a sacred responsibility resting upon them to act their individual part, to keep alive in the church members the saving principles that Christ has brought into our world. And they are pledged before God to give soul, body, and spirit to the efficiency of the church, preserving the love of God in their own hearts. Love to one another, love to God and their neighbor, is the principle which should bind them together, that they shall fulfill the words in Christ's commission. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, quoted. Here is the whole matter expressed in a few words. Then follows his claims. The object of his coming is not to represent less the claims that God has upon them, but to enforce these obligations of the human to the divine more decidedly. Verses 17 to 20, quoted. Then the Lord Jesus gives the most decided, far-reaching explanation of the law of God. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees had become more pretense than vital in its godliness. Christ brought life and immortality to light by the word of the gospel. The truth, as it is in Jesus, lies at the foundation of all righteousness and sanctification. Satan's power is limited, yet he is a power to all who serve him. He is a king. After the inexplainable transaction in heaven, when Satan became an apostate, our Lord declares he abode not in the truth. Once he reigned upon a kingly throne. He was a person of surpassing loveliness, but he swerved from his allegiance to the blessed and only potentate, and thus lost his connection with God, his first love. He was with the subjects he had deceived, separated from the loyal and the true, and was expelled from heaven. And it was his own act that compelled the separation, the disloyal subjects from the loyal. He became a kingdom to himself. He was a determined and active agency against God. He planted his standard of rebellion.